Well, welcome to Little Hickman Christian Church, and good morning. We're happy you're here today, and we sincerely hope that you'll find all the things you want, comfort and joy and hope, as we worship our Lord together. I understand some may be hesitant to join us inside yet, but whenever you feel comfortable, you're welcome to come in and we have masks for you. We're trying to social distance for your safety. And we have more room. So come on in when you can. This is a church where we care for each other. And we pray for each other. So let me bring you up to date on a few folks who have special needs. I do have a note I want to read from the family of Liddy Dean to her church family. Thank you so much for the wreaths in remembrance of Mom. The church and her faith was an important part of her life. Blessings to all from Teresa and family and Linda and family. Another sorrowful announcement, Eddie Jacina's father died this past week, and his visitation will be 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, and his funeral at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. They will both be at St. Leo's Catholic Church in Versailles. So if you'd like to attend, I know they'd be happy to have you. Most of you are aware of our cancer patients, Bud Jeanette and Darlene Elliott, and Kagan Guy, who's under treatment for leukemia. I know you'll continue praying on their behalf. I had a note here that Sandy Hammond and Cole Barnes are recovering nicely from their surgeries, but I have a note here from Sandy Hammond. She says, "I'd like to say thank you to my church family for the prayers, concerns, and beautiful flowers during my recovery from surgery. I truly appreciate everything and everyone." And it's signed with love from Sandy Hammond, but she could have just told us that because she's sitting right here this morning. That is good. It's good to see her. Debbie Gardner, that's Billy Fount's niece, is making a slow recovery from her stroke. And
Brother Way, actually, she will be going home tomorrow. She's going home with home health. She's still got a long way to go. But with two physical therapists and a walker, she walked 150 feet.
Okay, so she is making some progress and she's going home tomorrow. Okay. Well, that's good news. Kathleen Baker, that's Fran Bain's mother in Virginia, and Chris Christie are still in recovery from strokes they have suffered. And Rhoda Christie is also a patient with her husband at Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home. Charlene Montgomery, I think, would appreciate your continued prayers for her mother, Joanne Wilson. Joanne's not doing real well. Most of the others are pretty well recovered from their medical issues, but I feel sure you can probably add more names to your prayer list, and I would encourage you to do so.
He broke his hip, or he had a partial hip replacement the other day. He's at Cardinal Hill.
Okay. He's at Cardinal Hill. Okay. Thank you. You might want to include any of our young people who have gone away to college. I can think of a couple, Maria Day and Lainey Knowles. And I don't know if there are others that I'm not thinking of, but if there are, please let me know. Dalton and Katie, yes, from the Bowman family. Yes, thank you very much.
Izzy Taylor,
yes. That would be another one. So they need our prayers too, I think. And a happy note, I guess it's happy, maybe not. Sharon Bain had a birthday this week, so she's not here. She's not here, not inside at least. But well, there she is. She's not in her usual seat. That's it. But this is the day the Lord has made, so let's rejoice and be glad in it. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you for your power, and we thank you for your mercy, and we love you for your grace. We seem to be living in a world and a time which only you could possibly understand. So we come to you for guidance and for help. Father, our personal burdens seem so much smaller when we see all that's happening around us. And we pray you look upon those whose homes are being destroyed by wildfires and those who are trying to control the fires. Those whose lives are so severely affected by the coronavirus, and those healthcare workers who care for them. Those fearing danger from hurricanes and storms, and those trying to help repair the damage. And Lord, we pray you'll restrain those responsible for violent demonstrations and gun violence, and comfort those who suffer because of them. And more personally, Father, we thank you and ask for forgiveness for our sins. Thank you for loving us so. All this we pray in the blessed name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. As Jesus asked us to do, and as the early church did, we remember our Savior in communion every Sunday. And if you belong to Jesus, we invite you to join in with us in communion. If you're in your car, just let us know you'd like to share in communion by blinking your emergency flashers or your turn signal, and our men will come to you where you are. Sometimes, you know, when we have communion, I imagine myself in that upper room with Jesus and his disciples, sharing in that Passover supper and the Last Supper. While I wasn't there to be served personally, it's like they saved some for me, and now I can taste and feel that I'm a part of that worldwide community of Jesus that now circles the world. Or maybe I think of the loaf and the cup as a foretaste of a feast to come. Our fellowship at Christ's table in heaven. The Bible speaks of drinking the cup with Jesus in the kingdom of God, or participating in the marriage supper of the Lamb. The tiny portion I taste on Sunday whets my appetite and reminds me of my personal invitation to this feast. These are moments at communion that draw us closer to our Lord, who gave his life, his body, and his blood to pay the price for our sins. So these are moments when we fellowship with him. Jimmy Bowman will lead us in our communion prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us to gather here to worship you and sing songs of praise to your great name, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us this week. We ask you to look after our sick. Be with the families that's lost loved ones this week, Lord. Be with our men and women that protect this great country. We thank you for every blessing that we have. As we partake of this bread and this cup, which represents your broken body and blood shed on Calvary's cross for our sins, thank you. Amen.
The offering is an opportunity to express our gratitude to God for this goodness to us by returning portion to Him. So if you wish to share in the offering and you are in your vehicle, let us know in the same way by your turn signal or your flashers, and our men will come to your car. Danny Patton will ask God's blessing on the offering.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you've gave us. Thank you for each and every blessing you provide us with. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I know you folks listening on the radio may not have hymn books, but you might know at least the first verse of some of the songs that we sing, so join in as much as you can while we praise God in song. Our first song is number 456 in the hymn book. It's called Stand Up for Jesus, and we're going to sing the first and the last verses of Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high a royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcomes, crown of life shall give. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
All right. And our next hymn is number 297. It's Grace Greater Than Our Sins. And I think we'll sing the first and the second and the last verses of that one. Okay.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul is infinite loss. Grace it is greater, yes, grace untold. Grace to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon. Marvelous, infinite grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. Seeking and longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins.
Our prayer hymn this morning is Sweet Hour of Prayer. It's number 414 if in the hymn book. But we're going to sing the first verse as we stand and join together in prayer. Almighty God, we are a small part of a worldwide fellowship, we know. We also know that You hear our prayers and our praise personally. So we ask now that You claim our attention and enrich our faith with Your eternal truth. Lord, help us to realize the alarming and the urgent need for your word to be heard everywhere. And allow us to let it be given a careful hearing here today. Let your Spirit continue His work of growing the likeness of Christ within our hearts and lives. We pray in His blessed name. Amen. I titled this sermon, 8 Minute Sermons? Well, you'll see why in a few minutes. But it's about patience. Patience. Just the word is enough to remind most of us that we haven't arrived yet. I don't care who you are. I know you sometimes struggle with being patient. It doesn't matter if you're a kid or a senior adult. People are raising their hands. There are times when other people get to you. I heard this funny story about a lonely fellow who decided his life would be more fun if he had a pet. So he went to the pet store and he asked the owner what he would advise. He said, "I wanted an unusual pet." After some discussion, he decided on a centipede. That's a little worm, you know, with 100 legs. Came in a little white box he could use as a house for the centipede. So he took the critter home, found a good location for the box, and then he decided he would start by taking his new pet to a restaurant to have dinner with him. This is silly, isn't it? So he asked the centipede in the box, "Would you like to go out with me to have dinner?" Well, there was no answer. Not a word from the box. And that bothered him a little bit. But he waited a few minutes and then he asked again, "How about going out for a meal with me? I'll pay." But again, there was no answer from his new friend. He got irritated. But he waited a few minutes more, thinking about the situation. Then he decided he'd ask one more time. And he put his face against the centipede's house, and he shouted, "Hey in there, would you like to go with me to have dinner?" And there came a little voice out of the box. It said, "Have some patience, man. I heard you the first time. I'm putting on my shoes." I thought that was funny. But patience does not always come easy to most of us. We're always trying to figure out ways to cram more and more things into less and less time, and we allow less and less time to get things done. There's so much we think we must get done, and we don't want to waste any time. The time crunch is felt by nearly everyone. We want instant gratification. But that takes too long. A few years ago, there was even a church in Florida, I read about this, that advertised a 22-minute worship service. 22 minutes. They guaranteed that you'd be dismissed 22 minutes after the service started. The music was fast, the prayers were quick, the sermon is only 8 minutes long. Now don't get your hopes up. That's not likely to happen here. I dare say that there aren't many people who don't wish they had more patience. And I'd like to suggest three questions I think will help us understand this problem we have with patience. Because patience is important enough to God that it's listed in Scripture as one of the fruits of the Spirit. First of all, what is patience? Well, people have come up with some definitions that might help us. I have three of them here I'll share with you. One is sort of funny. Patience is the ability to put up with people you like to put down. Well, the next one is a little better. Patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. That's thought-provoking. I like this one, though. Patience is the inner calmness that comes from knowing that God is in control. I like that. In the New Testament, there are actually, well, of course, it was written in Greek. We have a translation. But there are three Greek words in the New Testament that are translated patience. The first two mean the kind of patience that can hang tough during difficult times. And the third one means slow to get angry. In other words, the opposite of having a short fuse. It involves not flying off the handle over little things. It's the idea of not getting mad over little irritations that are so much a part of everybody's life. Here's an example. A man noticed a lady in a grocery store with her 2-year-old child in the grocery cart. And the child asked for cookies. Mommy said no. The little girl began to cry loudly. And the mother patiently said, "Now, Missy, we're halfway done. It won't be long." Same thing happened when they got to the candy aisle. The child reached for the candy. Mommy said no, and the child began to kick and scream. And the mother said, now, Missy, only 2 more aisles, and then we'll be done. Well, they got done, and they went to the checkout counter, and of course the child reached for the chewing gum. And her mother said no, and she began to scream more loudly than before. And her mother said, "Missy, we'll be checked out in just a couple more minutes. And then we can go home and both have a nice nap." Well, the man who was watching followed them out to the car. And he complimented the woman. He said, "I can't help noticing how patient you are with little Missy." And the mother said, "Well, thank you, sir. My daughter's name is Francine. I'm Missy." Well... So patience is the ability to not fly off the handle over life's multitude of little irritations, but to hang tough and stay in control of yourself. But where does patience come from? That's where we come to our text for this morning. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, just 2 short verses, where Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So patience comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Is that important? And the Holy Spirit is living within every born-again Christian according to Scripture. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that a person who's not a Christian can't have patience or joy or any of the other things mentioned in the Scripture. Obviously, we're each born with some of them, but certainly not with all of them. But it does mean that with God's help, these traits should become a part of every Christian's life. And in order for that to happen, we listen to the Holy Spirit who produces these things. And to listen to the Holy Spirit, that means we spend time in the Word of God. We've got to read our Bibles. The reason we can get patience from God is that God has a monopoly on patience. He's got acres of it. And the reason patience is really important is that God operates on a totally different timetable than we do. We often find ourselves bent out of shape because things don't happen as quickly as we'd like them to happen. Look at some Bible examples. God made 3 promises to Abram, and those 3 promises were referred to hundreds of times in the ensuing years. First thing, God appeared to Abram when he was 75 years old. And he promised Abram he would have a son that would bless the entire world. Wow, some promise. Since Abram was already 75, you would expect that God would begin fulfilling this promise fairly quickly, wouldn't you? But 25 more years passed before Abraham and Sarah had their son Isaac. God wasn't in a hurry, even if Abraham and Sarah were. In that promise, God also promised Abraham a land of his own, real estate, property. But this wasn't fulfilled on Abraham's timetable either. Abraham's descendants would reach the promised land, and then they would leave it for 400 years, and then they would come back. See, God wasn't in a hurry. God promised a third thing to Abraham, and that was that he would become a great nation. That took even longer. After spending 400 years in Egypt, then wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they remained a weak and immature nation for quite a few years. They only became a great nation about 900 years after God made that promise. See, God just doesn't get in a rush. You have also the example of Jesus, who spent only 33 years on this earth. If I'd been making a plan, I would have had him hit the ground running. I would have thought he should make every minute count. But again, God's perspective is very different. Jesus didn't even begin his ministry until he was 30 years old. The psalmist wasn't joking. Nor was the apostle Peter. When he said, 1,000 years is like a day to God, and a day is like 1,000 years. When you're eternal, time doesn't figure. Here's the point. The way God does things is totally different from the way we would like Him to do things. But God never gets in a hurry. Most of us find it difficult to be kept waiting for an hour. Am I right? But God works at His own speed, not ours. And He's the one who has the patience to give us. So the Holy Spirit develops patience in our hearts. Now, I've tried to help us understand what patience is and where it comes from. But now let's get practical. How does patience work in the USA in the year 2020? How does it actually work in your life and mine? Well, I think it's even more of a challenge in our country than it is in many other countries because we live by the clock. Many other countries have a much more relaxed attitude toward time. I had a preacher friend some years ago who did everything ahead of time. He'd have his Sunday sermon ready on the Monday before. And they had used a printed bulletin each Sunday. He'd have that done and printed on Tuesday. When he announced he was going to Mexico as a missionary, I thought to myself, he will either change his ways or else he'll go crazy. Because he's not going to find anyone to cooperate with his schedule. A lot of the world is much more laid back about things than we are. We live by the clock. We don't even realize how often we look at our clock or our watch or our phone to see what time it is. It's the way we measure nearly everything we do. How far is it from Indianapolis from here? Well, it's about 3.5 hours. That didn't answer the question. I asked, how far is it? Not how long does it take to get there, but that's the way we think. We live by the clock. I suppose you'd be surprised to know that in the Middle Ages, people didn't think in terms of hours and minutes and seconds. In fact, seconds didn't even appear until the early 1700s. But in our desire to accomplish as much as we can, some of us make lists and estimate how long it'll take to do what's on my list. Well, that's not wrong. Sometimes it might get in the way of what's truly important. The good thing about making a to-do list is that it can help you remember what you have to do and actually get more done. I'd never criticize anybody for doing that. That's the way my wife got so much done. She always made a list, and she would ask me, "Why don't you make a list?" And sometimes I'd try to make a list, but I'd never remember to look at it. So I'd forget half the things that were on it. But I wouldn't think it would be wrong. I would think it would be wrong to be tied to the to-do list that you have so that you did not have time for things and people who may not be on the list. To be irritated when they interrupt or interfere with doing your list. It's pretty well summed up by a preacher's wife named Liz Reynolds. She said, "It wouldn't be hard to be patient if it weren't for the other people." Well, that sums it up pretty well. However helpful a list may be, though, one of the most important things in life, you can't really put on a list like that. Our desire to be a good husband or a good wife or father or mother or child isn't something you can do that way. Our desire to mature as a Christian isn't something you can put on a list and spend 5 minutes on each day. It means spending time reading the Word of God and absorbing the Spirit of God until you become more like Him. That's where it comes from. Maybe the whole thing can be boiled down to this. Patience means giving others the time and space that we would like to be given ourselves. That sounds a little like the golden rule, doesn't it? It means hanging tough when we feel more like blowing up. It means allowing God to help us be patient with others, just as we want God to be patient with us. It's like the 4-year-old boy who was on a long trip with his mother. And he kept asking the same question every few miles. And I'll bet you know what the question is, don't you? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? How long is it going to be before we get there? You've been there, I know. But finally, his exasperated mother said, "Well, we have 90 more miles to go. Don't ask me when we're going to get there again." So the boy fell silent for a while, and then he timidly asked, "Will I still be 4 when we get there?" Well, as Christians, we have an unprecedented opportunity to demonstrate how the Holy Spirit of God is changing us into patient people. The next time someone cuts you off in traffic, instead of using words like idiot, moron, try smiling and waving. You know? When you're tempted to be impatient with your children or your grandchildren, remember, you were once a child too. Your kids are going to act like children because they are children. And they think like children. In other words, we should act like children of a patient God. I'm saying we should show others the patience we want them to show us. The same kind of patience that God shows toward all of us. There's a passage in 2 Peter that I think is pertinent here. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' And then later in that chapter, Peter says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter says God is patiently waiting, giving everyone as much time as possible to accept the salvation He offers us in Christ. This is not a time to delay. It's a time to accept His gift and His Son as Savior and Lord. And we're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning to encourage you to make that decision if you haven't already. It's number 395 in the songbook. 395, it's Close to Thee. And let's stand while we sing together.
Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. The third verse. The veil of shadows bear me o'er life's fitful sea, then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with Thee.
Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank You for this hour spent in Your presence and with people who love You. We pray again for all who suffer today for any reason, but especially those who suffer because of their faith in Your Son. Let us all wait with patience for that glorious day when Jesus returns and makes all things as they should be. As we've worshiped here today, help us worship wherever we go in this world. For we pray as always, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.